listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim Tarantine here with my friend and colleague, Amanda Harrison. Amanda, we're constantly hearing from site selectors messages that are consistent to the economic development community and to communities in general. I've heard really two overarching themes. Number one is authenticity, that communities need to be authentic. And the second thing we always hear about that is a need in communities is an understanding of workforce and workforce availability, the data around workforce, how to talk about your workforce and how to market your workforce in your community. And we've got an amazing opportunity coming up in June in Chicago. Why don't you tell our listening audience about that new opportunity?
That's right, Tim. So you're right. We've heard over and over again that one of the most critical issues in the field of economic development today is workforce development, workforce training, understanding workforce needs. So we at Consultant Connect have put together a training solely focused on this issue of workforce. The goal of the training is to examine those sources, both free and paid resources, where you can see data about your labor force, where you can understand what you need to improve the workforce situation in your community. So this is going to be a very hands-on, practical training, and the goal is really to have those who attend leave with better access to data and better strategies and how to tell the stories of their communities and the people who are there to serve as the labor force. So this training is taking place on June 24 and 25 this summer in Chicago, Illinois. It's 2 half days, and included with the price of the conference is your hotel fee. So we've got that covered. If you are interested in checking it out and joining us, there's going to be a link posted on our podcast page of our website. So visit consultantconnect.org and check out our podcast tab. You'll see all the information there. Or, of course, you can always call Carla Winchester from our team. She is the expert on all of these events, and you can give her a call directly at 269-207-4982, and she'll hook you up, and we'd love to see you at our workforce workshop this summer.
And if all that knowledge and opportunity is not enough, we're so excited about the site selector who's leading some of these efforts. Kate McEnroe is going to be with us doing a lot of the training on workforce. And I know you know that name. So we're looking forward to that opportunity. Amanda, you did have a conversation. We're here for a podcast.
That's right. We are.
And so you talked to Dareth. Tell us about your conversation.
That's right. I did. I talked to Dareth Jarvis this week. He is a managing partner at Moore Partners, and he is, again, one of the top 50 site consultants in the industry. He shared some awesome insights for us that you're going to hear in just a minute. One of the things he really talked about is just being adaptable and responsive. He talked about marketing strategies and keeping things short and sweet and to the point. So I'm excited for you to hear his insights. And without any further ado, here's what Dareth had to share with us.
Dareth, thank you so much for joining us today on the Top 50 Site Consultants podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. We love to ask this first question. You'll hear it over and over again, but it's really important to us to get to know you before we get started. So what are 3 things that everyone who's listening today should know about you?
I'd say 3 things that immediately come to mind are I am the oldest of 8 kids. I will be turning 40 this year. My youngest brother is 12 years younger than me. So my mom had 8 kids in a span of 12 years. I am also a father of 4. My oldest is turning 20 in April, and my youngest is 20 months. And I would say the last thing is I love to cook. I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I love to cook.
Do you have a favorite food that you like to cook?
All things Cajun. Okay. I would probably say my favorite is gumbo, but I can pretty much cook anything under the sun.
Well, gumbo sounds good to me. Those are 3 great things. Thank you for sharing those and helping us get today kicked off. to learn a little bit more about you and how you got to where you are today, can you tell us how you first got involved in site selection and what makes you love it so much that you've chosen to make a career out of it?
I think I originally got involved in this by happenstance. In my previous life, I worked for the Nielsen television ratings for 8 years. My last assignment with Nielsen was in New York. And as a country boy growing up in small-town Louisiana, I quickly figured out that New York wasn't the place for me. So being in the research field, I was looking to get back to Dallas because I still owned the house here. And I happened across a research and site selection director job. And 9 years later, I'm still in it. And given the recent turn in the economy and everything that's going on with corporations across the U.S., it's the most exciting time in my 9 years, my short 9 years in this field, and I'm having a bunch of fun. So I love what I do. I've always been in research, or which is a big portion of site selection for my adult career. So I'm loving it.
Good.
It's a welcomed departure from what I was doing previously.
Absolutely. I love to hear that you're having fun in the work that you do. I think that's so important. In the 9 years that you've been a part of this field, what is maybe one secret, an inside look, you could say, that you lean on when you're assessing a community for a project?
A secret? Well, I don't think there are any secrets. I think one of the things that always comes up in this business is you can apply the science and you can apply the analysis for any client, but at the end of the day, there are things like whether or not the CFO's wife will be able to get a job, or whether she'll fit into the community, or you know, where someone lives, that actually plays a very large part in the site selection process.
Yeah, those intangibles that you can't always necessarily project. What are some of the marketing strategies that have worked for you or have worked for your clients that you've seen economic developers and communities do successfully?
I think when it comes to marketing for economic development, it's very important to keep it short and sweet. I think there are some very good examples of that across the U.S. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but one that comes to mind is Utah, and the little cards that they sent out that simply announces a project and says how many jobs, what was the capital investment. It's really short. It's really sweet. And in our business, we tend to appreciate that because we get so many different things from so many different communities across the U.S. And it's very hard to get to all of them, but that's one thing that comes to mind for me.
Great. Now that's a great example. In addition to Utah and what they do, are there any other states or communities who are really catching your eye these days? And maybe it's for a marketing strategy, but maybe it's for something entirely different. Who's kind of on your radar the most these days?
Well, from a marketing perspective, I think the state of Louisiana does things very well. I mean, their emails are always really, really to the point. Their subject lines on emails identify a company making an investment, a company creating jobs, and that really catches the eye. There are other associations like Kansas City Economic Development who do things really well. Most recently, I've had a chance to look at the marketing materials for Des Moines, Iowa, and they've revamped them, and their marketing materials look really well, really specific to industries, really eye-catching, really tells a good story to a corporate user that might be looking located in their community.
Great. Those are great examples. Thanks for sharing. I love what you said about the subject lines of emails. It sounds like such a small, maybe sort of insignificant thing, but that subject line really grabs your attention or it doesn't. And that's kind of a difference between getting your email read or having it end up in the trash. So thank you for bringing that up.
Exactly. Exactly. I think in my email inbox right now, I have 13,000 unread emails.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of them are from economic development. And I think you make a really good point. I mean, I think people need to, I know there's a question coming later about one thing that economic development can do, economic developers, that is, and that is know your audience. We receive emails. I just received one yesterday for a luncheon in Ontario, California from, 12 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. noon.
Mm-hmm.
That email annoys me, one, and because I'm not going to get on a plane from Dallas
right to
go to Ontario for a lunch. So I think, that's the one thing that economic developers can do is make sure that they know their audience and make sure that they're targeting their audience with the right communication.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think that sometimes, I mean, with email marketing, for example, what you're talking about, it's a big thing to tackle in terms of making sure that your lists are right, making sure that your lists are relevant and accurate. But it's so important because it really is the difference between creating a friend and maybe creating somebody who doesn't necessarily want to do business with you anymore. So
right.
I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's so important and timely right now, especially when people are leaning so heavily on email. I want to turn to you personally for a minute and ask you, how do you define success?
I was actually hoping this question wouldn't get asked, but I do have an answer for that. I mean, for me, success isn't something that I place a lot of weight on in my professional life. But personally, for me, my success at the end of the day will be attached to the children that I'm raising and the values that I instill in them, and frankly, their success in life long term. I think that's the measure of my success personally. I get that from my wife. She tells me every day, we really have to create good citizens. So that's how I measure my success. I think by being successful in business, we hopefully instill in our kids the work ethic that they'll need to be successful going, in the future. And that's personally how I define it.
Mm-hmm. That is great perspective. I love that. Since you answered my last question already, and that's if you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would that be? Your answer was you've got to know your audience. So I'm going to end on a different question for you. And that is, do you have one leadership lesson that you've learned throughout your career that you carry with you today and maybe you would hope to pass on to others who are listening to the podcast?
It's funny because I have in my office, I have a big, big picture, one of those pictures that have a quote on it, and it's all about leadership. It was given to me at my prior position at Nielsen. And the principle is that leadership is not a job. It's one thing to manage people, but it's another thing to be a leader. Mm-hmm. And hopefully by the example that I set with one, my work ethic, and two, my commitment to what I'm doing every day, I can be someone that the people who report to me look to as a leader. I really just think that leadership is not something that you're taught. It's really a gift. And throughout my professional career, I've been recognized several times as an outstanding leader, and hopefully that's because I actually take the time to invest in people's careers versus actually managing them and setting expectations. But being really, really invested in what they want to accomplish long term.
Absolutely. It sounds like you are a great leader. And that is why we are so honored to have you as part of our podcast series. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise and your insights. And most importantly, congratulations again on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
I'm definitely honored to be recognized. And I enjoy working with Consultant Connect. I think it's a great organization, and I look forward to working with you guys more and more in the future.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.